Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce, so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes. GPT-4, which is the new version of ChatGPT, just dropped, and there is tons of people doing some pretty incredible things. So today on the podcast, I want to talk about 25 GPT-4 examples that are going to blow your mind. Some really amazing stuff that people are doing with GPT-4. We're going to talk about some of the limitations and some of the things that GPT-4 can now do much better than ChatGPT, which was, you know, previously called GPT-3 or GPT-3.5. In any case, let's dive into it. And I think the first thing I want to kick off with is something that was shown off in a demo from OpenAI itself. And that's the fact that GPT-4 is going to have the ability to do image inputs, which means that essentially you can take an image, put it into ChatGPT, and write a prompt that relates to the image. One of the most powerful ones I've seen in that kind of area is the fact that it can design and code a website for you. So they did an example where on a napkin or a little piece of paper, he kind of drew a simple website sketch. He then took a picture of it on his phone, uploaded it, and said, write the code for this website. It generated all of the basic code for that website, and he ran it and it worked. So obviously that's pretty incredible. And I actually think what's even more amazing is the fact that you could use really good website designs, not just ones on a napkin, and have it do the code for that. So that is one pretty interesting example. Another one is what people are doing with fridges. So there was someone that took a picture of his refrigerator and all the food that's in it, you know, and we see the similar kind of stuff from those like smart fridges that just like keep track of everything in them. But you essentially can do this where you take a picture of everything in your fridge, upload it, and say, make me a recipe based off of the ingredients in my fridge. It knows everything that's in your fridge, and it can give you recipes based off of that, which is pretty dang cool. It also can, you know, explain an image in simple terms. So I even saw it go so far as someone uploaded a meme to, because you can do the image upload now. So someone uploaded a meme and said, you know, explain what this meme means. And, you know, it's able to understand, which is kind of cool because in the past someone said, you know, explain this joke or explain this pun or explain this article, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. But now it's like, explain this image, explain what's, you know, happening here. And so that's pretty dang powerful. Another area that is pretty amazing is just the fact that it can handle 25,000 words of text. Whether that's you writing that many words to it or you getting it to write that much. It's just an insane amount of text, and that is going to be able to do a ton of stuff. When testing how much better GPT-4 is than ChatGPT at certain tasks, you know, someone was testing if it was able to program simple games, and someone had it program a simple game of Pong, and it did it in about 60 seconds. And, you know, obviously a very simple game, but that is pretty impressive that in 60 seconds it could create something that is, you know, that is a legitimate playable game that actually runs. So I would say another pretty interesting thing is that we've heard a lot from a company called Do Not Pay, and they're essentially like a lawyer's office kind of thing that uses AI to get you out of parking tickets and a lot of different stuff like that. They've been using ChatGPT. And they've recently started using GPT-4 to generate one-click lawsuits to sue robocallers, which is a super interesting use case. And I think in the same vein, someone recently dropped a live Ethereum contract into GPT-4 and had it flag critical security flaws within that contract. So you're able to actually upload code or crypto contracts and ask it, you know, is there security flaws, and get it to do security reviews for you, which is incredibly useful. It also does, GPT-4 does drug discovery, which is absolutely insane. People have tried using it to do drug discovery, and they give it a currently available drug and ask it for help in formulating new drugs. And based off of all the information it knows, it's able to make predictions about what drugs and things will work. And this is something that obviously is incredibly lucrative and powerful for the pharmaceutical industry and for making drugs. So it'll be really interesting to see how that continues. So there is a dating site called Keeper, and they're leveraging GPT-4 to optimize their matchmaking. Essentially, it takes a profile data and, you know, the preferences, and it determines if a match is essentially worth pursuing. So it automates all of the follow-up, and it uses computer vision for the physical. You can filter on anything and find your ideal partner. Very, very interesting use case for GPT-4. So there is a guy named Jake Brotsky, and he has developed a Chrome extension from scratch without any coding experience, all using GPT-4. And his is kind of funny because I think what it was called is just Pirate Summarizer, and you just like highlight some text, and then you can right click and it will summarize what you've highlighted for you. So a very simple thing, but GPT programmed and developed the entire Chrome extension for him, which is absolutely amazing. You can also ask ChatGPT to retrieve merchant data, like credit card transactions, and output it all into a JSON format. So I'd say the only caveat there is that some data is not going to be up to date, but I think it's still a pretty interesting use case. So yesterday, Reid Hoffman, that's LinkedIn CEO, he showcased the very first book written with GPT-4, and apparently he's had access to this thing for quite a while, got it to write him or help him write a book, which is called Impromptu. So very interesting. Deenan, who is on Twitter at DeenanIOcom, he created a Stripe subscription checkout workflow from scratch using GPT-4. So again, it's really good at a lot of these simple kind of coding problems. He essentially just got it to create a Ruby on Rails 7 application from scratch. He made it a little bit harder for GPT-4 than he did with GPT-3, and it did a pretty dang good job for it. In addition, GPT-4 hired a worker on TaskRabbit to solve CAPTCHAs for it, which is pretty crazy. GPT-4 for iOS app developers is getting pretty useful. Someone recently asked GPT-4 to make an iPhone app that recommends 5 new movies every day and a trailer and where you can go watch it. And I saw an example of the app, and it is not half bad looking. You can kind of swipe through different movies, and it has a bunch of different things. So it's, you know, obviously a simple application, but it created an iOS app, which is, in my opinion, absolutely insane. Another use case, GPT-4 can be your, you know, I would say pretty ideal compared to others, but virtual assistant. A company called Be My Eyes also recently came out. And Be My Eyes is used for people with visual impairments, where they can take pictures of things and have, you know, anonymous or just volunteers around the world pretty much help verify what it is an image they're taking of. So if they're going to pay for some food at the grocery store, they could take a picture of the bill to make sure they're not accidentally giving too much money and aren't getting taken advantage of, stuff like that. And Be My Eyes, because of OpenAI's new image feature where you can upload images, they are using that, and so GPT-4 is now able to tell people what the image is of and help them without having to enlist the help of human volunteers, which is really interesting. Obviously, GPT-4 is a lot smarter, so it's going to be a pretty incredible exam partner for a lot of people, helping you study for your tests. And just how much smarter, when GPT-4 took the bar exam, it was in the 90th percentile, and by comparison, when ChatGPT took, which was, I guess, GPT-3 or 3.5, when it took the bar exam, was in the 10th percentile. So going from the 10th percentile to the 90th percentile is a significant improvement. And this is all due to the fact that GPT-4 is a lot better at kind of understanding and reasoning when it computes things. So if you're into photo editing, GPT-4 also can help you with that. A guy named Tyler Stallman on Twitter used GPT-4 to generate a Kodak Portra 400 film emulation preset for Lightroom. So in case you don't know, on Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom, a photo editor, you can pretty much do all of these specifications and all of these edits to your photos, and they're called presets. You're changing, like, you know, there's hundreds of these little kind of adjustments that you can make to increase the exposure and the brightness and the saturation and all these different things. And, you know, in the past, I've even seen, like, influencers for selling hundreds of dollars worth of their custom presets, right? You want to make your photo look exactly how they made it look with all of their edits. But GPT-4 now is actually really powerful. And if you just tell it what you want the photo to look like, it can tell you all of the presets to do to make the image look that way, which is pretty freaking incredible, in my opinion. Another person recently used ChatGPT to spend 5 minutes working with him on an animation for a landing page. And essentially, they were able to get it to make just like the animation in the background of the landing page, just like a bunch of blocks kind of moving around. But it's pretty incredible that it was able to create this animation for them. So it's really getting into kind of the whole graphic design element of what people are doing online now. Something that linguistics are going to love is that GPT-4 can draw syntax trees for any sequence. Someone recently used it to draw a syntax tree for the sentence, "I saw an elephant with glasses." It also can make pretty coherent Solana programs. So someone recently used GPT-4 to write an actual Solana program. So it's actually interesting, right? Because Solana is obviously one of these newer programming languages. It came out, it does a lot of work in crypto. And it's just interesting that GPT-4 is able to do a lot of these newer things, not just things that have been around for a very long time. So let's finish up with one of my favorite use cases, GPT-4 scanning an entire code base and spotting bugs and errors. Recently, someone on Twitter, Mayo Washin, used GPT-4 to scan the entire front end of his chatbot code base for bugs and errors, and it actually was able to help him verify a lot of the bugs. And he ended up posting the solution to that on GitHub and kind of what he was able to do with that. So a lot of just absolutely incredible use cases for GPT-4. It's going to be really incredible to see how this continues to evolve in the future and what new things people are using it for. If you have any cool use cases that you are using GPT-4 for, make sure to let me know on Twitter at Jaden_AI. If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT creators community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community. Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it, as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.